right into the sermon. Now, first of all, I want to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and we're so proud of you and appreciate all you've done. We also want to be mindful of those who have wanted to be mothers and haven't been mothers, and those who, for various reasons, and those who have lost children. There's, you know, anytime you do a thing like this, you also have people who it's not a happy holiday for. And so we always have to think about that kind of thing, and not only rejoice with those who celebrate, but also sympathize with those who sorrow is attached to it in some way. They say that the kids step on your feet when they're little and step on your heart when they're older, right? So that happens too. All right, so happy Mother's Day to all, and want to congratulate all of you that have helped in raising your children through the years. Lots of my great Bible stories that we can look at, and I want to look at one particularly with you today, which is from the book of Ruth. And if you get your Bible out, we're going to look at the book of Ruth. You like that one? Like
Ruth? I knew it was going to be Ruth.
Did you? Well, you got a prophet and a clairvoyant here. Okay, so am I calling this, God has not left you without a redeemer, Romans chapter 4, 14. So what we're looking at, we're going to look at the story of Ruth and Boaz, we can say Naomi as well, Ruth and Boaz, and I'm going to also call this Ruth redeemed. And so it's a story of redemption, a great love story, the greatest love story in the Bible, I guess you could say. And what I want to do today is do something a little different. Every once in a while, I'll get up here and try to tell the story first person, tell the story through somebody's eyes. I want to try to do that today, not through Ruth's eyes, but through Boaz's eyes. I'm going to pretend to, I didn't put on a costume, but I'm going to pretend to be Boaz today and tell the story through the eyes of Boaz, okay? So maybe it'll be a little different and add a little more interest to it, to you in it. All right, now, my name's Boaz. I'm a primary character in the story we're going to be telling today. Now, our story takes place during the days of the judges. If you remember the days of the judges, those were Wild West days in the history of God's people. The days of the judges were characterized by there was no king in Israel in those days, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, everybody pretty much did what they wanted to. But in the midst of all that chaos and confusion and corruption and all the things that were involved in that, there's actually a bright spot. There's a beautiful picture. And that's the story of Ruth and me. Now, the story doesn't start off well. It starts off with a family who, because of famine in the land, and the city of Jerusalem especially, where they lived, decided to go to Moab, where they heard food was available. It was the family of Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And as they left Bethlehem to go to Moab, and on this map you can kind of see where Moab is, but it's on the other side of the Dead Sea from Bethlehem. They went there, and maybe you remember the origin of Moab. That when the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire and brimstone, Lot and his two daughters were the only ones to escape. Realizing they lost their husbands and they had no way of having heir apparents, they caused their father to become drunk. Lot became drunk and had sexual relations with him, incestual relationships with him. Both became pregnant, and as a result of that, we ended up with two children, Moab and Ammon, both of which formed nations on the other side of the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. So Moab was a grandson of Lot. And to this land, this family has traveled now because of a famine. And much like Abraham, when he first came into the promised land, went over to Egypt in a time of famine, really when God didn't want him to, I believe the same thing happened to this family we're talking about here today. In fact, after they'd been there a while, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. She's now a widow. She has two sons, both of which marry Moab. Moabite women. One married Orpah, and the other married Ruth. And before long, both of them died. Now Naomi is not only a widow, but both of her sons are dead. She hears that food is now available back in Bethlehem after 10 years being in Moab. Hears that food is now available back in Bethlehem again, and decides to pack up and go back home. She has Ruth and Orpah with her, but along the way she stops and says, "You don't need to go with me. If I were to become pregnant today and have sons, they couldn't grow up fast enough for you to be able to marry them. There's nothing for you going back with me. Go back home to your family, go back to your gods, go back to Moab, and have a good life." Well, they all wept and hugged each other. One of them went back home. Orpah went back home. But Ruth refused. Ruth clung to her mother-in-law and said to her, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." I've always been fascinated. I'm fascinated with this statement she makes because so many people like to use this in their weddings and talk about the love between husband and wife. We know the context here was a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law. How many daughters-in-laws say those kind of things to the mother-in-laws? But that's how Ruth felt about that. And she, when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more about it. They arrived back in Bethlehem, and all the people in town were excited to see Naomi come home. "Oh, Naomi's here! Naomi's back!" But Naomi said, "No longer call me Naomi," means weakness. "Call me Mara," Mara, meaning bitterness. "I left full, and I've come back empty." I wonder what Ruth thinks about that while she's standing next to her. She's come back with her daughter-in-law anyway. And she was sorrowful and grieving. And whether all this that happened to her happened because of disobedience to God and because they went to Moab rather than staying in the land, I don't know. But they came back, and she believed, Naomi believed, that the Lord had brought her back empty, and he had testified against me. The Almighty has brought calamity upon me. She believed that God had done this to her. They came back, she and Ruth came back at the beginning of the barley harvest. Well, Ruth was not one to sit around and wait for somebody else to take care of her. She asked permission to go out into the fields and glean. Now, you know what gleaning is, right? The reapers would go out into the fields, and they would reap all the best of everything. But they were not allowed to pick everything. They weren't allowed to cut the corners of the fields. They weren't allowed to look under every leaf and under every branch, but they had to leave some behind so the poor people could come behind. That was a welfare system back then, was that you went around behind the reapers and you picked what was left, and that's what you got in order to try to survive. Well, Ruth asked permission to go into the fields to glean among the ears of grain. And it just so happened, at least the way they thought so, it just so happened that she ended up in my field. And she was following along behind the reapers, picking what was left. And I happened to come to the field that day. And I noticed, of all the people out there working the field that day, I happened to notice this young lady out there in the field. And I asked my servants, "Who's that over there? Who is that girl?" And I was told that she's a young Moabite woman who had come back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she had asked permission to glean among the sheaves with the reapers. And she continued early in the morning until now, except for one brief rest. Hard worker went. They're out there all day working. Well, I went over to Ruth and talked to her. and said to her, listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Well, when I said that to her, she fell on her face and she bowed to the ground and she said, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? And I told her that I had heard about her, that I had heard that she had come back with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and that she had left her father and mother in her native land and come to the people that she did not know before. And now the Lord was repaying her for what she had done and giving her a full reward from the God of Israel, under whose wings she had come to take refuge. But she said, I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. So she was appreciative of the fact I showed kindness, invited her to glean in my field, told her not to leave the field, not to go anybody else's field, stay in my field, follow my reapers, drink of the water they drew, eat of the food they ate, and I clearly instructed them not to molest her. You see, there was always that danger of a foreign woman being out there that by herself that she could be taken advantage of, and I strictly warned them not to do such to her. When it was mealtime, I invited her to come to the table with us and eat lunch and have all she wanted to eat and put the morsel in the wine. And she sat beside the reapers and passed her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied. And she had some left over, which she put in her pocket to carry home to Naomi. Always thinking about other people, wasn't she? Loyal and all kind and always thinking of other people. And I instructed the young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean. In other words, I told her to drop some on purpose, so she'd have plenty to pick up. It wouldn't have to struggle so much to get enough. Leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field till evening, beat out what she had gleaned, and had about an ephah of barley, about 22 liters she had collected from the field, a good take for the day. And she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought also the food she had left over from lunch and gave it to her. And Naomi said to her, where have you gleaned today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. And she told her mother-in-law of the field that she had worked in, that she had worked in my field. And Naomi said to her, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. So Ruth said to her, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women that I had out there in the field and gleaned until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and lived with her mother-in-law. So the barley harvest would have started in April, and the wheat harvest would have been in June. So for several months, she worked in my fields, gleaning and supporting herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Well, then Naomi hatched a plot. She was a matchmaker. She decided that Ruth and I ought to get together, and she ought to get married. Now, it wasn't just for romantic reasons she had this in mind. The fact is, coming back as a widow and without an heir, her inheritance was at stake. She was going to have to sell her property and lose her inheritance. And there wouldn't be somebody to carry on the family name. You see, the fact that all these things are going to happen coming up here wouldn't have happened if Ruth had already had a son from her husband. It was the fact that she was childless when she came back that opens up the rest of this opportunity for this story. The reason being, God always wanted the family name to continue on through the heir. And they had what we call the Levirate law. The brother, it's not Levi, like the tribe of Levi, but Levirate law, which is the brother-in-law law, which was, if a man died and didn't have a male heir, then his widow would marry his older brother, or his next brother-in-law. And he would bring a child into the world who would carry on the family name. And you'd work your way down through that. You remember the story that Jesus will tell eventually of the Sadducees coming and talking about the man who died, and all of his brothers married the widow, all seven of them, and all of them died without an heir, and whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? they press that question on Jesus, who Jesus says, you do err, not knowing the truth or the power of God, and that God is the God of the living. Anyway, the Levirate law was that the nearest relative could redeem the person, bring them out of poverty, bring them out of childlessness, help them preserve their property by following this Levirate law. And that's why Naomi was suggesting that I'm one of her redeemers. I'm one of those who can serve that purpose. Now, Naomi's too old to be taken and start raising children again. But her daughter-in-law, Ruth, can. So the attention focuses on me. How are they going to get me and Ruth together? She said to me, my daughter, said to Ruth, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, anoint yourself, put on your cloak, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And Ruth replied, all that you say, I will do. So she came down to the threshing floor, and obviously the men would stay there to keep their stuff from being stolen. They would sleep out there when they were doing the harvest and the threshing. And so she came to the threshing floor and did just as Naomi had commanded her. And once I had eaten and drunk and my heart was merry, I went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered my feet and lay down. At midnight, I was startled. I turned over and behold, a woman was laying at my feet. And I said, so who are you? And she said, I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Now, let's not read anything immoral into what happened here. She was coming and pretty much offering herself as a bride. She was pretty much proposing marriage. She laid at his feet, and at my feet, and she stayed there through the night, but the offer was there that she was available to be married because I was a redeemer. I was somebody who could redeem. I was a kinsman redeemer who could redeem her and the family, a near relative. Now, I would say to you that the kinsman redeemer has three basic qualifications. One is he has to be related. You want the nearest related person. Secondly, he has to have the ability to do this, has to be wealthy enough and have the ability to be the marriage partner. And thirdly, he has to be willing to do that. And Ruth will find out I'm all three. Well, it's also very interesting to look at, you know, they say opposites attract. And that very often we have a mixed marriage. There's things that have so many things that don't have in common. You think about Ruth and me, for example. I'm rich, she's poor. I'm Jewish, she's Gentile. I'm old, she's young. I'm a property owner, she's a gleaner. I'm single, she's a widow. What's the chance we're going to get together? Not much, by the standards of today, right? In these days and times, how fancy is this car? How pretty is his smile? How much money has he got in his pocket? How popular is he? And you know, those kinds of things are what form the relationships so often today. But in this case, Ruth is looking for the right thing. She's looking for somebody who could be the redeemer. She's looking for somebody who's godly. She's looking for somebody who wants to serve God and help her, wants to go to heaven and help her go to heaven, wants what any children that come into the relationship to know godly parents who will prepare them for heaven. So Ruth has pretty much proposed to me in the middle of the night at the threshing floor. And I said to her, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there's a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." And I think I've kind of skipped over, I've not done my slides here, but I forgot my slides. We have her gleaning out in the field. We have me asking about Ruth and who she is. We see me inviting her to stay in the fields and to eat lunch. And we find Naomi scheming with Ruth to propose marriage to me. She comes in the middle of the night, uncovers my feet with a blanket, and startles me. We talk about things. She makes the proposal, and now I promise her that I'll do what I can to make it happen. Now, the problem, it's very interesting in this whole story. The character of Ruth is remarkable, isn't it? She loved her husband. She loves her mother-in-law. She works hard. She's honest. She's moral. She's pure. She's all the things we go on to, the wonderful characteristics this young lady has. In fact, I said to her here, everybody in town knows you're a worthy woman. You got a good reputation. And when I hear that, I always think of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, worthy woman, right? A woman of great price. Yeah. Doesn't that really describe Ruth here? Isn't she that kind of person? Yeah. Well, it's amazing that she is willing to take me. She hasn't gone after the young men, whether rich or poor. She's proposed to me. And I know why she's done it. She's done it because they need a redeemer. They need a near kinsman. They need a Goel, a kinsman redeemer. And I'm one. But I had to point out to her, again, my character is such, I had to point out to her that I'm not the closest relative. And though I'd marry her in a minute, want to marry her, I won't go against the rules on the thing. There's somebody that's a nearer relative than me. And if he wants to have her, he gets first shot. But if he doesn't want her, I'm here. I'm ready. So he had character, didn't he? He didn't skirt the rules in order to get what he wanted. So he said, "I'll take care of this tomorrow. You lay here the rest of the night. Tomorrow, I'll go take care of things and I'll find out what's going to happen." So she lay at my feet until the morning, but rose before one could recognize another. And I said to her, "Let it not be known that a woman came down to the threshing floor. Bring the garment you're wearing and hold it out." And she held it, and I measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then she went to the city. You see, I was concerned with her reputation too. I didn't want her reputation to be ruined by being out at the threshing floor with the men. I was protective of her purity, protective of her reputation. So she came back to Naomi, who asked, how'd it go? Tell me all the details. Tell me everything that happened. Everything you said, everything you did. you know, when you get back to the date, right? Tell me everything that happened. Okay, so she told her all that the man had done for her, everything I'd said and done. And she said, this 6 measures of barley that I had given to her, I had said, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. And she replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for Boaz will not rest until he's settled the matter today. So you just hold tight, hang on, he's going to take care of things, we'll find out what's going to happen. So in chapter 4, we continue the story. So I went up to the gate the next morning and sat down there. And after a while, the Redeemer that I had mentioned, spoken to her about, came by. And I said to him, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And I took 10 men of the elders of the city and had them sit down as well for witnesses. And they sat down. And then I said to the Redeemer, Naomi has come back from the country of Moab and is selling a parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I'd tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of the people. If you'll redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. So if you want it, take it. If you don't, let me know. I'll be next in line. Well, the man said, it really scared me. He said, I'll redeem it. I'll take it. I'll buy the land. Said, I'll take it. But then I kind of dropped the other shoe on it, so to speak, and said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. So, oh, by the way, along with the land comes the widow that you'll have to raise up children for. Well, the Redeemer said, I can't redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. So take the right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, it was the custom in former times in Israel, concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm a transaction, one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So you would, to show you were accepting it, the way you sealed the deal, instead of shaking hands, you'd hand your sandal to them. Now, if you were offered that opportunity and you turned it down, the widow could actually come and spit in your face and hit you with the sandal. That was that. It was an insult for you to fail to do to meet the requirements you were called upon to do. But the Redeemer said to me, "Buy it yourself," and then he drew off his sandal. So I said to the elders and all the people, "You're witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. And Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of the native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrata and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring the Lord will give to you by this young woman." So I presented the opportunity to the nearest relative. He turned it down, and I accepted. And now Ruth is going to become my wife. I would become her kinsman redeemer. Boaz took Ruth. I took Ruth and became my wife. I went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you today without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. So Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed, who is the father of Jesse, the father of David. The great-grandparents of King David. Now, let's talk just a minute about the kinsman redeemer. You see, somebody, a near relative, needed to step in and rescue Naomi and Ruth from the poverty and disinheritance and that sort of thing. Boaz was willing to do that. He was able to do that. But to do so, he had to be a near kinsman, didn't he? Ruth, in this story, is redeemed. She has a child named Obed, and Naomi now has a grandson, too. And I got a little chart up here, a little, I know Ken likes this kind of stuff. So he's been working all this stuff, being the genealogy and everything. Okay, here's genealogy for you, a little bit. Notice in the upper left there we have Lot, who has Moab and Ammon through an incestuous relationship with his daughters. All the way down Moab, you come down Moab and you come to Ruth, the Moabitess. So that's where, that's the background for her. She's part of Abraham's family, but through Lot. Okay. Now, on the other side over there, we have Judah, who ends up with Tamar. And through a Levirate situation, Ur and Onan both die. And because Judah will not give his third son to Tamar in order to try to bring a male heir in, she poses as a prostitute, entices him, and when she becomes pregnant, she has twins, Zerah and Perez. Perez is the one through whom Salmon came, but notice Salmon, he becomes the husband of Rahab, the harlot. You remember the story in Joshua, conquering the land? They come to the city of Jericho, and the Rahab the harlot hides the spies. She negotiates for the salvation of herself and her family when they come in and destroy the city. And once she is rescued, she ends up marrying a Hebrew man, a Jewish man, and guess who her son is? Boaz. Boaz is the son of Rahab. And now he marries Ruth, the Moabitess, and through that genealogy comes David. King David is the great-grandson of Ruth, and then through him comes who? Jesus. Now notice, did you notice the red on that chart? Tamar, Ruth, Rahab, and Bathsheba. Four women who are in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. When you look at Jesus' genealogy, there's females in there, which was not typical for those kind of genealogies. It would be male, son of male, begat kind of thing. But here you have four females in there. Tamar is in there through an immoral act. Rahab comes from outside of Israel and is a comes as a Canaanite. And she gets into there, and she had an immoral background. Ruth didn't have an immoral background, but she also came from outside of Israel, didn't she? She was also a Moabitess. And then we have Bathsheba, who we know the story of David and Bathsheba. So there's four women, three of which there was immorality, and two of which were not Israelites, who make the genealogy of Jesus. Here's another way of looking at that. You see that through Lot comes Moab and Ruth. On the other side, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, comes Boaz, who then have Obed, Jesse, David, and finally Jesus. Isn't that fascinating? See all those fit together? Now here's the point of the whole thing, we wrap up the lesson today. Boaz was redeemer kinsman for Ruth and Naomi. And that's all that makes a wonderful story, and we're really happy we have that in the Bible. But let's never forget that Jesus is on every page of the Bible, isn't he? All these stories are really looking forward to Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer. We find ourselves in a helpless situation. We find ourselves in poverty, alienated, without any hope or any future. But then Jesus comes along, and because of the virgin birth, he is our relative. He's related to us. He's both God and man, so he's related to us. He leaves all the riches of heaven to come down here and pay the price for our redemption. How many passages in the New Testament talk about him being our redeemer, coming to redeem us from our sins? Not only was he able to do it, but he was willing to do it. And that's what we remember when we had the Lord's Supper this morning, wasn't it? Remembering the fact that he did it. He died for us. So Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He's the one that comes and marries us and rescues us from our hopeless situation, just like Boaz did with Ruth. God has not left you without a redeemer either. Boaz didn't leave Ruth without a redeemer. And God does not leave, Jesus does not leave you without a redeemer. I love the song about redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, that he paid the price so we could live. We're now married to Christ. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. We're the bride of Christ. Isn't that awesome that we get to be part of his family? He came and did that for us, just like Boaz did for Ruth. Well, I hope that story meant something to you today. A lot of the things we could have said, but time's gone, so we'll stop there. Well, have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you come to your kinsman redeemer? Have you let him forgive you of your sins and give you all of his wealth and inheritance and give you the hope of heaven? I hope so, but if not, what better time, what better opportunity right here, right now, today? We're going to sing a song. And if you'd like to confess your faith in Jesus, the Son of God, repent of your past sins, trusting him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, you can have him as your kinsman redeemer today. Song selected. If you'd like to make the need known, we'd love to assist you and help you with that today. Or if you want to study with us later, glad to study with you later more about answer questions. But if you're subject and ready today, let's do it as we stand and sing. I encourage you.